morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Darling.
This is Lee.
We must be early birds this morning.
Oh, it's exactly 1 minute after seven. I've got one of those clocks in my living room, you know, that's supposed to be controlled by a satellite and brings
right.
up data all the time. So
right.
it's saying it's 2 minutes or 1 minute after seven.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, my watch is 3 minutes after and my alarm clock is one, so. Now it sounds like somebody else.
Char, somebody?
I am here, yes, but I was waiting for Brenda to come on.
my cholesterol is down 40 points.
Whoa!
I think they made a mistake the last time when Tom's went down 50, you know, with us on this vegan, and mine didn't go down at all. So I think there was a mistake. So this is 2 months later, and it's down 40 points.
You know, that's a good comment, although 40 isn't too much to have it drop in 2 months if you really did some, you know, changes. Maybe that scared you enough and you just, I'm just kidding.
Well, it didn't because I've been doing the same thing. We're going to start trying recipes. We've just been doing the basics, but that's been since the end of January, last week of January.
I know McDougall went back and redid mine. I can't remember what it was that he looked at, and he goes, I don't think this is right. I mean, he just right off the top of his head, he says, I don't think this is right. And it wasn't anything really, you know, huge, but he just says, I don't think this is right, so I'm going to redo it. You know, no, we'll look at the next one, he said, because they take them, you know, more than once. So he says, I'm sure this isn't right. So anyway, so that does happen.
I think that's what happened because
I said, how could that not? Why do you think it wouldn't be right, or what would happen that would make it not right? I remember asking that question. I've never even thought about this since then. So thank you for bringing it up. And he says, oh, sometimes it just sets there a little too numbers don't come out right. So in other words, they didn't do it as quickly as they should have in testing it. Or maybe in the process of testing it sets too long. I don't know exactly what he was referring to, but he said something about just setting too long. So, you know, there's factors.
I'm really looking forward to the October 1st test on the Osteodent. My doctor didn't want to check me for a year, and I went off the Fosamix, and I'm on the Osteodent. So I'm going to be really curious the 1st of October to see how that's gone down.
Good. Well, maybe Brenda's here. Is Brenda here?
Hi. Yes, Brenda's here.
we're just drawing while you get here.
Yeah, I was trying not to interrupt.
I know. That's what I thought.
So
but you heard Lee's good news, right?
Pardon me?
You heard Lee's good news?
No, what was that?
Lee?
Well, I put it on mute because my dog was making things, making noises. My cholesterol went down 40 points.
Wow.
But it should have done that 2 months ago when my husband's went down 50 and mine stayed the same. So I think there was a mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pleased that it's down 40 points. Although Dr. McDougall said at my age it doesn't really make that much difference as long as I'm doing the, you know, the lifestyle.
I would think it would make a difference.
But he said no, at my age that it really didn't, as long as I was watching everything. I still have that. I'm going to have to print out that message so I have it in my files.
Yeah, there's different factors that affect the changes, and see, I remember him saying something about it, but I couldn't remember exactly what, so can only retain so much, but.
Yeah, I'll get it printed off, but I'm going to be 75 the end of August, so. You said that didn't make the bed, I shouldn't worry about my cholesterol as long as I'm doing the lifestyle, which I am.
And maybe some of it is that it doesn't come as evenly either, if you're, in just in case it was accurate, that it doesn't happen, you know, in the same routine that other people's would when they're younger. So, I don't know, can't remember.
I would like to ask you a question. I am very impressed that you are willing to do lifestyle and you're 75. I run into women all the time who are 70, 75, and they say at this age, I'm not making a change, or I'm too stuck in my ways, or whatever. I'm very impressed with you doing
that. Thank you, but my husband really is the one to be more impressed, because he was 87 2 weeks ago, and, it was in July, anyway. And I said, well, do you want to do something special? You know, have something special to eat for your, for your 87th birthday? And he said, no, I'm not going to have anything. And we were at a funeral the other day, and the sandwich we got had chicken in it, and he picked out all the pieces of it. He was better picking out than I was. And I asked, well, 75, I thought, well, I wanted to, if I did anything special, it'd be Cold Stone ice cream, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stay on it just like my husband.
Wow. Well, it was my anniversary this weekend, and we went to Carmel, and we had a nice lunch, but we did eat a couple of things that we shouldn't have, and I felt crummy when I ate the bad stuff. It's amazing how fast something that isn't right for your body starts to make us feel really crummy. For a couple of days, it was just not right. It wasn't worthwhile.
Do you think it makes a difference with how much of the bad stuff you eat?
I only had a little.
No, but I think you mean, Brenda, I think you meant Nancy, how much you have on a routine basis in your diet.
Well, no, I was at that point, specifically that time, because I think that most of us routinely are not eating, although maybe we are, I don't know. But it, Brenda, it sounded like, was more strict until, her anniversary, and that kind of blew it, and I was wondering if the amount of the blowing made a difference rather than, if she had eaten a lot versus a little.
No, I was pretty strict. I was pretty strict all day, but then there, when you're out and about, you can't control what you get as much. So.
But maybe she meant how much of that meal was animal.
Right, or whatever.
Yeah. And for me it does, I know, because a little is not going to affect me like having a fair amount. In fact, we exchanged meals last night twice. We thought we had the wrong meal tofu. Oh, well, I know what it was. We tasted ours, and I swore, and the other gal had the same thing I did. The two gals had one dish, and the two guys had another dish. And they were both supposed to be just vegetable. One was off the vegetarian list, and the other was just a vegetable dish on, the main menu. But it didn't say any meat in it at all, and it wasn't under a meat category. So we assumed it was vegetarian, too, or, just vegetables. And mine tasted fishy, and the other gal says, this is fish. And we started pulling it apart, and they were like a spring roll, and it looked like it had fish in it, and it tasted like it had fish. So we fished with our husbands. We said, they just came out and said the wrong one. So we fished with them, and neither one of them liked it as well. And because it did have a different taste, and we tasted theirs. Well, we get the gal back the one that waited on us didn't speak much English. We get her back, and the other one, and the owner, and she explained, no, that we had the dish, and the other one actually had pork in it. Well, we didn't taste the pork as much as we did the fish, and I go, I had taken one bite of it, and I go, give me that other one back. If they're sure that that's the right one. And they were so, trying to be so obliging, because we knew they thought we didn't like the food or there was something wrong with it because of the way we were switching. We said, no, it's just the way we eat and we want to make sure that, we're eating that way and so forth. But they were fried, and mine was not supposed to be fried. It said spring roll, not or California roll, not, or vegetable roll, and it didn't say fried, and so I was not expecting that. I ate two of them and that was it, because if I had eaten any more, I know the fried food really affects me also, the same as getting animal, even if it was all vegetarian. So, and I, you know, I did pretty good, but I can still tell that I had some. I mean, I didn't, my insides did not feel the way they normally do. So that's where I am. Danny didn't have a problem with it, and he ate, you know, much, much more of it.
And I think some of us are more sensitive than others anyway.
True, but I never used to be. He used to be the one that was with sensitive intestinal tract.
Hmm.
A lot of things would bother him that never, ever affected me. He could get an upset stomach from, you know, just eating just different things.
Mm-hmm.
He routinely would have and maybe overeat on. But I always said, oh, I've got an iron stomach. Absolutely nothing ever bothers me. But it's sure not that way now when I get off of what I normally eat. And the other thing I see that I'm sensitive to also is if I do too many of the carbs, because bread is my downfall, the really, really good breads, and if I do too much of the starches, I just don't feel as good. You know, I can't say that it's not hurting or doing anything bad, but it just, I don't feel the same thing, and then I start craving. I know my next meal needs to be all veggies. No fruit, no starches, just, you know, I need to get some veggies in there. Little.
Interesting that you bring up carbs. I was just watching something about the Olympics and how after a meet or whatever they call it, how they try to get the athletes back into shape quickly, and they talked about the muscles. So I assumed that the next breath they were going to say was high protein, wrong. And I forget what the combination was, but the carbs was like 1 point something grams more than the protein. And he said, for those of you who understand this, this is like 4.7 to 3.2 or something. So they are eating more carbs to get their muscles back to where they need to be rather than high protein. And chocolate, 1% chocolate milk has the same ratio, they said. Not that any of us is training to be an athlete or anything, but I thought that was really surprising. To get your muscles back into shape quickly, you eat more carbs than protein.
A long time ago, many, many years ago, who was the Martina Navratilova had a nutrition coach, and I don't remember who he was, Fit for Life or some guy, and it was carbs. He was a vegetarian, eating carbs, brown carbs, vegetables, and she got the energy and sprung back from the carbs. That's how they kept her in shape. But I think I saw Amy Can, the green sport bracelet on one of those athletes yesterday. I think it was from the day before because we see that as she was swimming. When she was practicing, they were doing a review about her life. She's older, 41 or something. I paused the tape and I said, look at that, Jay. That is a green kneecap bracelet on her arm.
I think we got a notice on that on the email. Didn't we?
We did. But this, I don't know if this was the same person or what.
Well, it said 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been the same one. It's good that you saw it, though.
Not on television.
Has anybody seen Shannon Miller at all? I'm wondering if she's over there.
Who else has joined us? Anyone want to say hi today? Okay. Well, you know, I was looking, turned on my computer this morning on MSN, and a little blurb said, hidden causes of headaches. And I went to that because we were talking about headaches the other day, and we've been plagued with headaches in our family. And it's decreased lately on me over the last few years quite a bit. I never get a headache. But the last couple of years, I started to get this, like, electrical sting, I would call it, that goes from the base of my neck around the back of my ear, across my forehead, and down to my eye. So if I run my finger across it, it feels like sticking your finger in a light socket. But the better my diet gets, the more it goes away. I control it by diet. The doctor wanted to give me Neurontin at one point, and I said, for what? And she goes, well, it might dull the sensation. I said, it's not bothering me. It's fine. So when I felt crummy yesterday, I felt that started happening. And it goes by how I feel, what I'm doing in my diet and in my health. And I didn't do much wrong yesterday. So this little list, I was looking at it, and I thought, aha, that's what I did right there. There are 8 things, hidden causes of headaches, if anybody's interested. It's pretty neat. The first one they mention is pain medication. Taking pain meds cause headaches because you get addicted to them, because you feel a little twinge, it said, and you go to your pain med, and you take it, and then every time you feel a twinge, you take your pain med, and then when it starts wearing off, your pain med gives you the headache or the pain, and so you will take more.
I think that's right. I really think that's right. I'm glad you said that, because I'm trying to cut down a little bit on pain medication, and I think you're right, and it's just the start of a little headache, not that much.
And you'll feel it when you start not taking, it'll cause that headache. I've heard that even.
And it's not a bad headache. It's just something that's light.
Uh-huh.
I think you're absolutely true.
It's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when you get off of caffeine.
What?
Like when you get off of caffeine.
Well, I've never been on caffeine, but.
Oh, that headache's nasty. And that's number 2 cause of headache is caffeine. It says, you know, a lot of people take caffeine for headaches, they said, but anything over a cup and a half or a soda, you know, coffee, soda, whatever has caffeine in it, will trigger a headache to come on. And then you know that when you don't have the caffeine, if you're addicted, you'll get a headache too. And did I have caffeine? No, I hadn't had any caffeine yesterday, so that wasn't it. Number 3, and Deshar mentioned this just today, carbs. It's sweet carbs, or white bread, paired with no protein. And the picture on the screen was like a white cupcake. Made me not want it. Because, boy, can I feel that when I eat that now. Can anybody feel that? Has anybody eaten a white cupcake lately or something like that, thinking, oh, I'll just have a bite?
Yeah, there's a big difference between the whole grain and getting the mixture of the other stuff. At least on my body there is.
Yeah, it sends me swirling. It's once again like sticking my finger in a light socket to me. It's like, oh, what is that? But the sweet carbs like that, it mentioned at restaurants they bring you the white bread and we down it. One little thing on there even said that the white carbs give us a very high glucose in our brain and causes our memories to not be as good. So, paired with protein, I was thinking, all right, we've got the sweet white carbs where all of the goodies are taken out of our whole grain. But if we have all the whole grain, don't we have the protein and all the excess, the good stuff in there? Do you think we would?
Sorry, what was that question? How did you say it?
If we're eating the white carbs or the stripped carbs, if that's a problem, what about eating non-stripped carbs, whole grains? They have protein.
Oh, yes. Wheat has protein. That's the difference between soft white wheat and the winter wheat. It's higher in protein content. That's why with baking bread,
bread, you always want to get the hard red wheat, the winter wheat, because of the protein content, and the bread texture comes out different with that. Does that answer?
Yeah, because I was thinking, well, common sense-wise, in what we've learned, we shouldn't have to be so afraid of the carbs, even in getting headaches, if we're eating the correct type of carbs.
Oh, true. It's just when you get off balance, then you would have just a carb load with not other things. No salad, no fresh veggies, you know, and it's all fruit and carbs. Like, for example, when I knew that I had had more than I should have had or wanted, it's not that you have that you have to do these things, but just based on how you feel, was yesterday I had predominantly a fruit salad, and then I mixed some rice into it, one, because it would stay with me longer instead of just the fruit, and two, because I loved the taste of it. And in itself, there was really nothing wrong with it, but then I had had, a cereal, a very small serving of cereal, and then a slice of whole grain sprouted bread in the morning. Okay, there's not the none of the fresh veggies.
Yeah.
Or none of the veggies, period, in those two meals. So I went last night for loading myself with just vegetables. That's all I really wanted. And I wanted, a lighter meal. Well, I didn't end up with a lot of veggies because this was not a place that we had been in a long, long time, and we hadn't been eating that way when we were there. And everything was on rice stick noodles. And, of course, the rice stick noodles were way more than the amount of vegetables that were cut up in it. So my balance yesterday wasn't, what I like it to be. That makes me feel good.
I think it's kind of fun to figure out this stuff.
Why was I
so crummy? Let me see.
Yes, the relationship. And I know listening to Dr. Carol Zuku, down in the Santa Rosa at Dr. McDougall, she said to me several times since we've been back, I am certain that what is going on, with this person or that situation or the way one of us would feel or something we'd comment on, is just because we haven't got the balance, we haven't got it together. I'm sure that we're feeding our body. And, that's the first and primary thought. It's not about, there's something different going on. No, the root of it is how we're feeding our body. That's what's creating the atmosphere for it to be different. And I truly believe that. I don't know how you can get away from that. And even with the hereditary factors, yes, there are certain things, and there is a percentage that is not changeable, but it's very, very small. Actually, the way Dr. McDougall says it is 2% is hereditary, but we can still direct it in a different direction. So it makes that really very minor.
And the older we get, the less heredity has a bearing on our life.
Yes, definitely.
Can I just ask a quick question, speaking of veggies? I made the okra yesterday with Jeannie's recipe. What are you guys putting it on or with?
I put mine with baked potato once. I put it with over brown rice another time.
Okay.
And then one time I stacked the greens on the bottom, brown rice on the top, next, in the middle, and then the okra topping on top of that.
Good.
And I left the first two cold and then warmed the okra topping.
So are you eating the okra only warm, or have you tried it cold?
Oh, I've had it cold, too.
Oh, okay. Marty liked it. It was a winner.
Good. Hey, you can just
call us
all kinds of things,
Nancy. Well, it worked well, guys. Hey, by the way, I've just been popping, when I want veggies quick and easy, I've been popping the cherry tomatoes off the vine outside. It gives me veggies.
Mine don't even make it inside to you.
He brings them in, so that's the heart. That's the easy part.
Fruit is the same thing out there. We've got apples that are transparent, and I've never used them. usually out of the garden because as they start to turn yellow, they're mushy.
I think that makes a wonderful applesauce, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I suppose it could, but they're still mushy. To start with, I mean, they're very soft, you know, all mealy tasting, actually.
Mm.
So this time we start picking them green. Well, you don't want to know, there's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 crates. So it's milk crates and 5 gallon pails sitting in my kitchen on a hand truck right now.
What are you going to do with them all?
Bake them, cut them.
You cut them, put them on
Corn, slice them, and bake them with cinnamon on in the oven for about 20 minutes, and then cool and put them in freezer bags, and they are wonderful. That's my topping for pancakes or even cereal we use it on in the wintertime part of the time. You know, I use a lot of fish normally, but...
For how long? At what temperature?
350. I think 355.
For how long?
About 20 minutes. There's... chunky. They're not soft like applesauce. They're still chunky. There's firmness to them. But then when you freeze them, it softens them. But I put them in the Sealamil bags, you know, suck the air out so they don't take up much space that way. I'm not into doing much canning anymore, but the freezer, in fact, Danny said to me when he brought them all in, because he knows how full my freezers still are, he said, you know, there is an extra freezer out in the barn you can use too, dear. And I'm thinking, oh, he's giving me permission instead of saying, get the rest of that stuff out of those freezers. So, anyway, but it works great. And you could do any apples, but these were just apples that usually got fed to the cows because we didn't like the flavor of them or the tree. And picking them green, they're almost like a Granny Smith, which I love the apples. So anyway, that's why I have my apples sitting in my kitchen, but they're going to go to the basement because I can't get through that many because Danny's going to be out of town so for overnight. So anyway.
Sure, can Mary Lou, can I share that again just real quick?
Oh, apples, you can just, I wash them. There's no chemicals on ours, so I don't have to be real, real careful, but I have to do them really rinsed well. And then simply core them. Slice them, and I love Jeannie's slicer, her German slicer with the V thing in the center. I don't know how much you got one, Nancy, and didn't you? And didn't, and I know Lee's got one.
Yes.
Okay. A trick that I learned, and so it goes really fast in handling, is when you've got like 7 apples. Okay, cut them in half, core them out. Take the stem end out with a knife. Or use I use a melon ball scoop. So I've got 2 different sized melon balls for big apples and small apples, one on either end. And sometimes if they're softer, I just use that to take out any bad spots too. Lay them upside down on the counter where you're working, and then the hand gripper that holds the vegetable or the fruit, you never even have to pick the apples up. You just cluck it down on the top of it, run it through the slicer, cluck it down on the... And the next, if you have a little piece sitting on the slicer that doesn't want to go through, your next apple that you drop on top and shove it will shove it on through.
So is the gripper taking the skin side or the cut side?
I put the cut side down. I put the cut side down on the counter and then pick up the apple with the hand gripper.
On the curved side.
On the curved side, yes. And so the prongs drop down into it when you know, just lay it on top and push a little bit. And then, so I'm never handling it. And you get into mass production speed. And this is what makes and simplifies cooking in the kitchen and putting things together much quicker. Even when I'm doing a salad now, I grab that. I can have 2 apples. I grab that, and I can use that way faster and rinse it off than I can picking up a knife and slicing it by hand.
Do you peel your apples?
I do not.
Oh, good. So it'll cut it with the peel.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah. So that thing is incredible, and I've got one that cost me 3 times that amount, or at least double that amount, whatever it was, and it was at half price, and it doesn't even begin to do what this one will do. Now, I haven't tried it on some other things, and I will try it on some different things, but when I tried it on before, it didn't work at all, so
thanks for the tip.
Anyway, it's the little things that make it much easier in the kitchen and make us so that we don't mind doing these things because they're fast and easier. So does that, oh, and then in the oven,
in the oven with cinnamon. I put them in like 9 by 13 or 15 by 17, about 2-inch pan, so you can get a little bit of depth. Sprinkle them generously with cinnamon. I mean, I use a lot of cinnamon. Just like Nancy does garlic, I do cinnamon.
No, I don't do cinnamon. Cinnamon?
Oh, yeah, I know you do cinnamon, but I don't know that you use as much as I do because I don't throw it on. I don't sprinkle it. I just put
it. You put more than a single layer, correct?
Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can be 2 inches deep, and they're still going to heat. And if it takes a little bit longer for them to get warm and just or hot and just a little bit of softness to them, because I don't want them runny juicy to put in there. I just want them so that they're heated, they're hot, and they... Yeah, and then I let them cool down, and then I put them through the sealant meal.
I have frozen fresh raw apples, and the problem was that they all stuck together in the freezer. Do these stick together, or...?
Yeah, these will definitely stick together. You'd have to layer them out. The only way you're going to get vegetables to be, like, quick frozen, like you buy them in the store at Costco, for example, is lay them out on a sheet, and freeze them, and then bag them after that. And then you've got them all individual to pour out, whether it's berries. Oh, my berries are just coming out. Nancy, you need to go look for those blackberries. You're missing out.
We did it last summer. I think somebody's eaten them all already. As I'm looking out now, I don't see much color. I'll have to check it out, though.
Go dry it for a while. I mean, you've got to have places where they haven't gotten rid of them, because I know they're on the invasive list.
But ours are so small compared to yours. It's almost not worth the work.
It can be where you're picking, though. There's areas around here where they're no bigger than my little fingernail. And then there's other areas where they're the size of my thumb, first thumb joint on the end.
No, we have the little ones in our yard.
Yeah. Go look for some big, in your yard. Yeah, go look someplace where they're really growing prolifically in the wild. And you'll find a totally different thing, especially where they're getting the sun.
Yeah.
And if you're in an area where you can find that they get some rain, because the rain will develop into, the different slight difference of altitudes, and I don't know how flat you are right there, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Brenda.
Thank you.
Don't apologize. That was good information.
Kid on a roll here, and I don't know when to quit.
I always love hearing about cooking food, because then it gives me ideas to use.
Well, as I lately, I guess the amount of what I'm doing, keep thinking about how can I do this faster, how can I do it easier, where can I shorten it, that's what I think about in making me feel good about doing things, and then also think the same way about other people if they can have a better way of doing it. And I think I'm going to get on some of those, or record some of those, cook shows, and I think there's a vegan chef on that Jeannie or Rick found. Rick, I think, found it. I don't know whether Jeannie's on this morning or not.
I'm listening here.
You think you couldn't get a word of one edgewise anyway?
I came in a little bit late this morning.
Isn't
I can't remember the guy's the name of the vegan chef. I'll have to find out for you.
Okay.
There is one I listen to on PBS. This is Onita. Called Christina Cooks, and she does vegan.
Oh, good.
Well, we get PBS, so maybe I can even look for that one now, but I think I'm going to get hooked into a little more than PBS here. And it's Christine what?
Christina.
Oh, Christina.
Cooks. I mean, she just cooks, so Christina Cooks.
Oh, okay. PBS. Okay, thank you.
Brenda? Could you just continue down that list? I'm curious about what other triggers there are for the headaches.
Oh, okay.
We kind of got diverted, I'm sorry.
That makes it fun. Number 4 is, I don't know how you say it, it's an amino acid that's found in peanuts, chocolate, red wine, processed meat, the nitrate, sausage, hot dogs, salami, and products of dairy and wheat. Trigger headaches. So, I've had horrible migraines as a teenager. My children did too. 3 days out, vomiting the whole works. And when I look back, I recall bologna and hot dogs and all of these things on here. I can look at it and I can go, yep, Yep. Yep.
And the nitrates.
Knowing now.
Nitrates.
Knowing, yeah, the nitrates. Or knowing dairy
mm-hmm.
isn't my friend. Instead of going, oh, what's causing me to be sick? Having that trigger, that button that you can push now and go, oh, there it is. It's pretty neat. Number five is not enough fluid. Forgot to drink. Dehydration. Also too much caffeine because you go through times, well, not probably not us, but I was there and I see all my kids being there and kids around everywhere. So does the caffeine. And that's their water. Let me have a coffee. Let me have a soda. Let me have a caffeine.
And caffeine dehydrates.
And caffeine dehydrates. So it actually said if your head is pounding and your skin feels like it's shriveling up, you're dehydrated. Get some water in you. Prolonged stress, especially women who continue and don't take a break.
Does that sound like anybody?
My daughter, who's working on her doctorate degree, never stops. She sits at the desk and drinks coffee to keep going and has migraines, pushes herself into it. Number seven is perfume, fragrances, candles, soaps, lotions, my perfume. And, you know, that's when on our think about toxins in our homes. And then number eight is high altitude. Once again, I could relate to that because every time we went to the mountains fishing, I had a migraine. This one doctor gives chlorophyll supplements to help oxygenate the blood.
Hmm.
And storms, barometric pressure. My pressure moving in. I don't know if I'm off base or right, but the first thing I thought when it said, okay, chlorophyll supplements, well, you know, vegetables, help oxygenate the blood. High water.
The optimizer.
Optimizer.
Jade Green time.
Yeah, can we go on and on?
Yeah.
But that was them. So I don't know if that helps anybody. My thinking is if it's going to help, if a headache gets triggered, that's triggering the whole body as a whole unit.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things would deal with everything in your whole body.
They certainly have it all compacted into that list.
It's all compacted, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that list from, Brenda?
Well, it's on the front of MSN this morning.
Oh, good.
Kind of waiting for it to flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I went. I think the article that's on the front of MSN asks if soy is good or bad for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into there and then found the headache thing. And went, oh,
what did it say about that?
Well, I'm not sure. It said, and the older you get, the more it affects you.
Positively or negatively?
Oh, it's okay.
But so it said on that tape that it helped being on this, because he has a lot of soy, it did say dementia, so I'm not concerned.
It said
he has a lot of soy.
What did it say?
It said dementia, that being a vegan helped dementia.
It helps it.
That's what it said on the that wave tape.
Yeah, I keep getting, I hear people say, well, you can't have, soy is bad for you. And then people say, soy is good for you. And
a lot of it, Brenda, is the processing. At least this is what McDougall's comment is, and I've said this several times over, but I'll
do repeat it really short. And that is, there's nothing wrong with the soy bean. There's nothing wrong with the fermented soy products, as long as they're clean to start with. They're non-GMO. Their processing is good. And it's done in moderation. He says it'd be like picking out a chickpea or a garbanzo bean and saying, you know, this is the only bean I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat everything made from this bean. No, we need the variety. And he said, put it in alignment that it's one of several in that same field that's good. It just happens to be a little bit higher in the balance of carbs, protein, and fats as a whole bean than the other ones. And it gets, it's been very, very much brought to the forefront because of the farmers growing it and them really, really pushing it. So, again, in balance and the form of it, not into overprocessed food, the same as you would take any other bean or any other food and do that to it.
And so much of the soy is processed.
And so much of the soy is processed. So like your soy hot dogs, your soy meat substitutes, your soy this, that, and the other thing. No. I mean, no, we don't want to go there. That's refined.
Hey, Tom likes the bacon.
Well, you know, he said use these things as a condiment, not as a main source of your food. So if you're using it as, you know, if you were using two strips of it in with green beans like my mother used to do with bacon once a month, that's not a big deal. But if you're having, you know, five or six strips of it every morning for breakfast, then it would be a different story.
Well, he has bacon and tomato sandwiches.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's not an everyday lunch, right?
Right.
Yeah.
On that Christina Cooks, real quick, is that by any chance or any other name? Because I've just gone through, I'm up to next Wednesday, and I haven't found it.
Well, some PBS stations carry it, and some might not, so.
Is there a date? It is called Christina Cooks. It isn't under any other name.
No, that's what it's under.
Okay.
Call your PBS station and ask them.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you'll get it that way. And is it a particular day of the week, Onita, that you remember it being on?
Well, our station usually runs cooking on Tuesdays, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll go back to Tuesday. I've been just going all the way through it to next Wednesday while we were talking, and I couldn't find it.
I was going to say you could probably enter that just in your search engine or something and pull it up as well.
Oh, I'm doing it on the television.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Good. I have to run, so I'm going to sign off early here.
Ooh, I didn't know what time it was. I have to, too. Yep. This is on MSN if anybody wants to look at it. I think I look at it pretty carefully, not I don't take it literal, because when it does mention the Indonesia test and everything, we don't know what all these people were still eating in conjunction with what they were eating, too. So, moderation.
Well, these are possible triggers, that's all.
Yeah, possible triggers. And we know a lot of other stuff about soy being good, too. So, but I do have to go to work also. I'll be there in a few minutes. And is there anything else anybody would like to bring up or mention real quick? Okay, great.
Good call, Linda.
Thank you very much. I'm going to let off. If anybody has any questions, they can call in tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thanks.